if you don't do that and you maybe collab with an influencer that is vocal about, I don't know, sustainability and all these other things, and then you collab with a brand that is not representing that, your fan base will destroy you.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of The Influencer Factor by The Influencer Marketing Factory. So sorry we left you on note, like, you know, but we are back. We've been quite busy. I know that all the people there that followed our, you know, podcast on any platform possible, right, have been dying for this new episode that is about what, Marcella? Welcome.
Hello, hello. This episode is our 8th episode for season 1. This episode is about influencer collabing with brands, putting out collections.
So we all know, right, that lately what happened is that if anyone followed it, what happened in influencer marketing in the past 10 years, right, we know that at the beginning it was influencer was a person that was mostly going maybe on social media with a new product in their hand and be like, especially on Instagram, and be like, hey, I tried this new makeup, it's fantastic, you know, you should buy it. And then, you know, in time, right, we changed the narrative, right, the storytelling, and also the way to approach products. And I'd say that in the past year, right, we have been seeing a big shift, right, from being merely a promoter of a third party product, service, you name it. Now we're seeing this shift, right, culturally speaking, from influencers, content creators, to becoming actually solopreneur, creators of products, even, you know, their own line of, you know, products, or they co-create with brands, right? So the brand has a big name in the industry, maybe. The influencer is a big name in on a specific social media or a niche. And what do? They get together and they be like, okay, we know how to make a product. You know the audience and what people want. So let's get together, right? Why is it that important that nowadays content creators are not just promoters, but actually collaborating with brands on a higher level now?
So I guess because influencers are, you know, the ones that really understand the audience, the Gen Z, this whole new generation of consumers, and knowing what's best for their audience, they can also advise and help the brand succeed in that. So I feel like influencers really can, of course, not only advise, but also deliver a very good product. And, you know, with all these makeup collection lines, you have influencers collabing with food brands, you name it. There's many, many ways that influencers can help a brand. There's different type of collaboration that you can do with influencer. You have the influencer marketing campaign, which is, you know, the most common, but there's also very good opportunities like collabing directly with influencer in creating, I don't know, a piece of clothes, a food, or whatever it might be.
A lot of the times they are, you know, maybe there is the FOM effect, right? Maybe they only producing, let's say, 1,000 pieces of that, right? Or for example, there is a new beverage only from this month to this month, right? And you want to be there, right? If you remember, I mean, apart from Dunkin', but also McDonald's, the food industry for fast foods, they created a specific menu, maybe for like a big content creator, and they went sold out because people were going there just for that, right?
Yes. Also with the celebrities, sometimes, like usually McDonald's is big, like the K-pop, you know, the K-pop collab, fans were going crazy and people were even reselling the gadgets on eBay.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, once you do something like that, then you have like secondary market.
If you think about it, like how Pokemon cards came back, I feel like these type of things could also be something really valuable, you know, in maybe 10 years or something like that, because it's like a piece of history.
Yeah, it's memorable in that kind of way. Right, type of thing. So, yes. Wow. And so, can you tell maybe some example also for the people out there? Because again, like, you know, we know the most important ones, but it's also important, I'd say, to say to people listening that you can really collaborate on, you know, between brands and content creators on almost any niche. Of course, the makeup and food are like, you know, the most important ones, but I think that there are like so many industries and especially sometimes maybe if you go niche, it works even better sometimes because you have the aficionados, right, that they're going to be there and buying just because it's you, right? Any cool ones that you want to share?
Yes. That's why you don't need like big names in the creator industry. You can also collab with more small influencers and have the same, you know, effect. Of mm-hmm. course, the bigger, in this case, the better, but that doesn't mean like the collab will be successful. For example, the other day I was watching a YouTube video of an influencer I follow, like I've been following her for years. And I saw she collabed with this brand, with this fashion brand. And I opened the comment, she created a collection line for this brand, like a summer capsule collection. So with very few selected pieces and limited edition, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I opened the comments and all the comments were really, 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 really negative. Like, why are you collabing with this brand? I didn't expect that. I don't like this. So wow. Sometimes collaboration can go wrong if you not only choose the wrong influencer to represent your brand, but also if the influencers chooses the wrong brand, let's say.
Yeah, could be maybe because maybe they are, you know, like especially nowadays with Gen Z, you want like, you know, it's cruelty free, it's vegan, it's there are no big scandals in the company, we want diversity in the company, it's all right, and they reflect this value. Yes. Also on the product that you build. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you don't do that and you maybe collab with an influencer that is vocal about, I don't know, sustainability and all these other things, and then you collab with a brand that is not representing that, your fan base will destroy you and the brand.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can see that nowadays people are really more vocal about things. You know, before it was like... I totally see your point. So, okay, so they can be good ones, neutral ones, bad ones that can destroy both parties, right? Yeah.
But that can be, you know, an opportunity for the brand to see what their customer want, what the, you know, the consumer wants. So,
yeah, what they do not want, and therefore potentially what they want to see. Okay. And that's why also we say all the time, whenever you're on social media, go and read the comments, right? Comments are a focus group in real time of real people, unhinged. They are like transparent because the people have nothing to lose when they comment, right? A lot of the times they are like even maybe anonymous comments. So they're like, you know what? I don't like this because of that, or I love this because of that. And too many brands are not reading comments, and actually you can do sentiment analysis on that. You can read a lot, you know, of that. Mm-hmm. And doing that can help you maybe not to, you know, go in a, you know, sort of like a, you know, terrible collaboration that you might. So this is the bad one. Can we talk about maybe a good one?
Yes. Let's talk about positive things.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk about the Cava and Emma Chamberlain collaboration. It is a partnership for this spicy hummus and this bowl, custom bowl that is sold only at Cava, and you can also order that online. Cava told Adi Week in an article that after this influencer marketing campaign increased its web traffic by 30% month over month, mm-hmm. while also boosting downloads of its app by 50%.
Wow.
The Fire Bowl was the chain's best-selling vegetarian bowl during its run, which began on April 4 and ended on April 26. So that's amazing because you did 24 days, basically, of really big, you know, investment in social media, in the, you know, big, big figure that is Emma Chamberlain. And you, like... you have different channels because you have, you know, the home delivery, you have the in-store, and you're all advertising it through social media, basically.
Absolutely. And also what you said there on the app installs, actually pretty cool because you are not just getting customers, but actually potential loyal customers, because the time that you download the app, that is the same when I remember that I had to download the Chipotle app one time to make an order, and they do a lot of gamification, right, with points. So it's actually a really good move because you are getting new people that love maybe Emma Chamberlain, and maybe they don't know that much your brand, or maybe they know it, but they're like, okay, you know, for Emma, this time I will download the app because I want really to get that one. And you are getting a person that maybe didn't have the app, once you get the app, usually maybe unless you don't allow the notification, you will get notification. And even if one person out of 10, let's say, you know, the next time is going to open the notification order again from Kava, they have a returning customer, right? That you didn't have without an app usually, right? Because you don't have push notifications. So that is actually an interesting one. What do you think about instead? So this is a collaboration, right? What do you think about doing your own branded things? And I'm thinking, because I actually bought that and it was actually good in my opinion. I'm talking about chocolate from Mr. Beast. What was the name? Feastable? Is it the same from Feastable. The burger? Or yeah, because yes. We have the Mr. Beast burger, right?
Yes.
That I also tried. It was good.
We tried it together.
We tried that, right? Yes. The packaging was super cool and the burger itself also was really good. And then I also ordered the chocolate from Mr. Beast. To be honest, because I wanted to enter in the giveaway. And again, that is, you know, again, gamification, right? So you are a big brand yourself because you're Mr. Beast. You are really good in creating products. And then you, all the time, if you think about it, all the time that Mr. Beast does something, there is gamification behind that, yeah. Right? The last person that removed the hand takes the money. You know, everything is gamification. And even with this one, and the chocolate was also good. I don't know if you have the chance to try it, but
not yet.
Yeah, it was
unfortunately it was, not yet.
Not yet.
I would love to.
It was good. So, what do you think, Marcel, about again? Not because you know when you have a brand, it's easier, right? Because you have a strong brand there. I've been maybe from ages, and so you just have to collaborate. Pros and cons of going alone.
If we think about Mr. Beast, he did sold 10 millions, you know, worth of money in six yeah. months for Feastable, which is kind of, you know, crazy. That is the best that could happen, of course. Yeah, like, exactly. We are taking the best of the best. But I feel like if an influencer is starting, you know, to do those things, it's good to first maybe collaborate with an existing brand. Mm-hmm. And you can see kind of how it goes. Yep. What do you like? What you don't like? How do you see yourself, you know, from the time you do the collab in 5 years? What's your brand about? There's many things that goes into a collaboration. It's not only, okay, I'm putting my name on it. Of course, some influencers do that, but there's also influencers and some type of collaboration that does involve just putting your name on it. Like, you kind of design the product, you test it, you have to do a lot of modifications, you know, that goes into creating, you know, a makeup line or I don't know, anything else that takes a lot of creativity.
So, you know, like why I was asking that, because for example, I don't know if you saw this video on YouTube, but there is, you know, this guy, Graham, it's pretty famous in the finance space. He helps people investing money and understanding personal finance. And he became famous because, you know, like back in the days, he started saying, why go out to get a coffee at Starbucks when you can do a 20 cents? I think that was the sort of motto, right? The 20 cent, I think, iced coffee, right? And so he saw an opportunity, right? And said like, hey, people know me also because of this thing. So let's create a coffee brand. But then I think a few weeks ago, he made a video where he said like, you know what? I don't know if I will continue because I'm almost going under and I am actually overpaying for things, you know, like because of logistics. So people think that is easy, but then you have to, as you were correctly said, you have to not just put your face or name on it. You have to, if you do it by yourself, you have to find the vendors, you have to understand logistics, you have to do a lot of Google spreadsheets, right? With our Excel files with all your costs, and you have to do marketing, right? And you have to understand that, like, you know, what are net margins and gross profits? Like, there are like a lot of things that you have to learn that is actually business, right, oriented. Yeah. And some people might be really good in doing YouTube videos, but they're not business people. So I also want to put it there out. Don't just look at the good story sometimes. Like, it's not that easy, right? Like, yeah. It's not just like, oh, these people made like 10 million. So you can actually sometimes lose money. So that's why I agree with you, Marcella. Like, you should maybe do something potentially smaller or in collaboration with, right? Or maybe yes. collaborate with another influencer that already, you know, been there, done that, right? The type of yeah. approach.
Yeah, for sure. Also, because if you're starting off alone, you will have to do, you know, you have to invest a lot of money. You probably don't have the fan base to do that. So it's probably like, I always bring up Emma Chamberlain, but I feel like she's the perfect example because She's doing, I don't know, the collab with Cava, which is food. She's doing Levi's, I don't know how to say that, very special limited edition jeans. Mm-hmm. So she's doing all these partnerships that are very her, because from the beginning, she always have been vocal about, you know, I like Levi's, I love this type of food. She always cooks. So this is a collaboration that makes sense. And on top of that, she also has her company, which is a coffee company, because she is a huge coffee lover. This is the perfect example of how you can do both, and you can do both good. And then there's also, you know, the one we talk about, but there's also, you know, like maybe the influencer can be a little bit controversial of other things going on outside the collaboration. So this is something the brands wants to take, like to take in consideration, like to keep in mind. Who are you collabing with?
Yeah.
Is it just the trend, the creators of the year, of the month, of the, you know, of the quarter, or it's someone that really can help your brand? Absolutely. And collab, you know, on a more value, more, yeah, you know, profound 100%. Level.
And now that we're saying that, actually, I also wanted to note something else. The difference between, you know, collaborating from a brand with a celebrity and an influencer. This is what I feel, okay? And I've been, you know, saying this from since I started working in the industry. If you are an influencer or a content creator, usually you started by yourself making your own content. So you bought a camera, you have a tripod, you know how to edit videos or how to edit photos. You know how to tell a story. You are a self-made person, right? You create everything by yourself. On the contrary, a celebrity, they are maybe really good in singing, acting, but they cannot do everything. You know what I mean? So whenever you see something, I think that people perceive that, yeah, okay, the actor went there on stage or on the whatever, they said that they did it together, but come on, did they really? I don't think that they spent time going to the factory and looking at the colors of the shapes. They didn't go, you know, the majority of the times they put really the name, what you said before. On the contrary, on the other hand, you have an influencer that they know their industry. Like, you know, let's talk about, again, like, you know, in the coffee, like if you release, you know, are in there, maybe you then start contacting vendors and factories that are making them. And then you have the help maybe of another influencer that are really good with graphic design. And then you collaborate with another person that does fantastic, video effects. So you collaborate that, and people, I think, can see the difference. They can really see that you put yourself, right, in the work, like in the product, like in the line, right, that you are building and producing. And that's why I feel that sometimes, like, you know, with celebrities, they maybe might work, but that is like the old ways to do, like, commercial, yeah, like, you know, hey, collaboration with yada, yada, yada. But you know that they didn't put a single day in producing that. While an influencer, and we also videos, right, of people be like, hey, follow me in the factory today, or today I'm here choosing the palettes that I want to use for this and that. And that storytelling, it is what fascinates me. It's like, you come with me, and you see this baby burning, right? And, you know, and getting there, you're like, okay, it's actually coming to light. And when you're going by, it's like you're almost part of the journey in a way, yeah, as a passive consumer, right? And that is why I think that these many people go there and they get crazy over a new product of an influencer, because they saw it, right?
Yeah.
Day by day.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like you feel certainly more close to an influencer compared to a celebrity.
100%.
Like, for sure.
100%. Is there anything else that you want to add on these? Any other case studies or numbers? Anything that you want to share with today?
Yes. So when you talk about the fact that you have with the app, you have different customers, you acquire different customers. So this insight on glossy.com. Mm-hmm. So on average, a collaboration launches have 25% increase in new customer mix. You're not only getting the people that close the influencers, but and already know your brand, but they know the influencers. So as you said, with the app, you try it because of the influencer.
And the thing that works well also for rebranding, right? I'm thinking about, you know, Gap that has been there for ages, and they were like, okay, it's time to maybe get a new generation, right? And they got content creators and influencers on board. And as you correctly said, you are maybe an older brand, and you're like, okay, it's time to rebrand ourselves. And that's why you have this 25% increase in the mix of your customers, because some of the people already knew you, some others didn't know you, but thanks to the influencers that brought in, and then they know you, right? Mm-hmm. And then also happened to me that I'm not a big buyer, but again, maybe I'm following someone and just because they are the one saying like, go and check it out, I do that because I trust this person. At least I seen this person, right? Someone that knows about the industry. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's an interesting, I think that in time is going to increase that number. I'm pretty sure that now new generation are changing, right? And so I think that 25% is going to become 30, 40, maybe even 50, like, you know, later on, because again, some of these brands, mm-hmm. brick and mortar, they have to change things. And if they don't do it now, they're going to die in 5-10 years, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like, I wanted to add, like, you can have a really, you know, good PR strategy, social media strategy. You can do events, you can do giveaway, you can do everything you want. But if the product then it's not good, you will expect backlash from the internet and from, you know, the TikTok and Instagram comments, videos. We've seen it, like, we've mm-hmm. seen, like, also major, you know, celebrities' brand being completely destroyed because the product was not good. So as much as you can love a celebrity and as much as you can love a creator, mm-hmm. If the product is not good, you can have all the money put into the work, whatever, but it won't be successful. And you can have literally just, I don't know, a chocolate bar and be successful. So that's not you don't have to create mountains, you know,
Absolutely.
To be...
And also another thing interesting that I've been seeing lately, it is that now there is a lot of, you know, issues sometimes between maybe smaller content creators making something and then other celebrities copying either the trademark, the design and so on, right? And so finally people are like, power to the people again, right? Like, you know, hey, they made these like, you know, X months ago. Then it's sometimes it's like, you know, he said, she said, like type of things where it's a bit blurry, you know, understanding who is it. Fault it is, but I also noticed in that, right, that maybe some things are really similar, or, you know, like they, you know, it's normal, like you have less money to spend on marketing. So of course, like, you know, the celeb is going to have more power on that. But that is also another example of what is happening lately, I'd say. And but on the other hand, even if you have done that, not that much money, this is something that actually maybe you saw that, Marcella, that story about a Boba Tea. This lady, I think she was like looking for, like, I saw this video on TikTok and she mm-hmm. made her own, you know, bubble tea, right? And because I think that this is an alternative, because usually they are super sugary, right? Like, you know,
the local one.
Yeah, I think so. So like this one, I actually saw it on TikTok and it was really interesting. Like, again, what I was saying before, put yourself in the story. Like, I didn't find that, like, this is really important in my culture. I love bubble tea, but I saw that we're like super sugary, yada, yada, yada. I left my job, I quit it. I started working, and in the past 2 years, I've been, you know what I did? After that, I went on LinkedIn to find this person because I wanted to be like, is it just a TikTok phenomenon? Or, and then I saw that she was also promoting on LinkedIn, and actually she got a lot of traction and she was sending the people to a waiting list. So I got in the waiting list and I received like an email like, oh, we are sold out again. So again, you could have a peak, like you go viral one time, but if you don't know how to manage your, like, you know, presence, right, then the day after you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
If instead you can really plan it in a professional way, let's say that you have to be lucky to be on the TikTok for your page. Like nowadays, it's a bit more difficult than one day, but if you're lucky and maybe let's say that you do 50 videos, one of those goes viral, you do like 3 million of views. Some of those people are going to check out your product. Some others are going to buy. Some others are going to put on the waiting list. And doing something like that, I think it's really good because you are building momentum. You're getting traction on products instead of sending people that time. And also the good thing is that if you have a landing page with a waiting list, you can know actually how much to produce, right? Like how much to make them. Because if not, you could be like, I didn't make enough. I made too many that I'm not selling. If instead you're launching a product, you have people in the waiting list, 1,000 people, well, you know more or less how much to make, right? Yeah. And so that's why it's important to, like, you know, understand what is your next steps in the game.
Yeah, yeah. From a brand perspective, like if you have to organize, you know, a launching product for with a collaboration, there's so many things that goes into it. And sometimes if you like go for an agency or, you know, someone to help you out, if you haven't sorted out these things before, sometimes can be difficult also to do the rest, you know, of the work. So that's why every step is important, even if, you know, the launching collaboration and I don't know, the dropping products seems, you know, easy and fun. It is fun if you want the last part to be successful. So the product, the launch, everything, the social media coverage, you also have to figure all this that you mentioned before. So the landing page, the how much product you're going to produce and so on and so. So that's not even... like, it's not an easy thing. It's not a thing like you do in a week. This collaboration takes months, probably.
Last thing that I want to add before we wrap up, also there are now platforms that are, you know, stating that they can help content creators to take like the majority of hassle off, right? So be like, okay, you still designing and everything, but we help you in making the physical product. We help you ship it. We help you, like, so you just had to mostly do the storytelling, the content. So also on that, I don't know yet, like, how do they work that much? So I cannot give a feedback. I have the idea that on the one end is like potentially interesting, so that, you know, like, as we are an agency and we take a lot of like work from a brand perspective, that is also what could happen. But also on the other hand, it depends like how customized are these things and how much standards instead they are, right? So again, we said that you want to put yourself in. Can these platforms really help you to make something that is you in a product, right? Yeah. Because if that is not the case, that is like merchandising, right? Like, just put these on that, but it's missing your soul, right? It's missing yourself. What do you think about that as a conclusion?
Having those type of platforms where creators can seek help if they want to start building something, it's great, like for an individual, like, I don't know, a smaller creator or even, you know, not a TikToker. It could be, I don't know, they have a course online, they're doing their business like anything anyone else could do. So yeah, I agree. I think that there are a lot of valuable platforms outside that can really help creators.
Cool. So I'd say that's a wrap. I love this episode. I think that we are in the industry and we know what is happening, but I'm still feeling that a lot of people are still looking at influencers as, you know, nice faces in front of a camera that are just telling you what to buy. And I still think that this is just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. There's going to be way, again, like, thanks to platforms, thanks to other ways, easier way to create your own products. And we're going to see more. Then, of course, we're going to see a phase where everyone is going to create something. So the value of that is going to be zero. The majority of people are going to then, you know, they're going to test it out. They will see that it's not easy. They're going to abandon the idea. And the only ones that have like that a professional approach and a mindset, you know, as a business person, then are going to continue and then they're going to be still. So this is how I mostly as a potentially forecast on that. I don't know if you see it differently.
Yeah, I feel like the majority of... like, if you have to think about the first people that will know about, you know, your collab or your product drop will be your followers.
Yes.
So if your followers, as the first thing, they don't perceive it like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's, you know, makes sense. You cannot expect really to have.
No one else will.
Success. Yeah. So that's why I feel like even if we will be seeing more and more collabs, at one point, yeah, everyone will collab. So people will be like, okay, I can see right away if it's something, you know, genuine or it's just something you put your name into it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Marcella, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Right, for one of these. We are almost running out of the episode for the season one. So another couple of episodes and then we're going to go with season two. It's going to be quite interesting. So continue following us on major platforms such as Apple Podcast and Spotify. We're also on YouTube. We're on TikTok, Instagram Reels, you name it. We are there. We're everywhere. Even on LinkedIn, we sometimes put these things in our LinkedIn newsletter. So no matter your age, industry, where we're coming from, we're going to find us on social media. So thank you again for listening and see you next time.
Thank you. We'll be right back.